Senator Trent Lott's hold on the position of Senate Majority Leader is growing even more tenuous. Mr. Lott spent this week expressing regret for his words in support of Strom Thurmond's segregationist platform in the 1948 presidential campaign. Yet Senator Lott doesn't seem to be better off for having apologized. Wondering when a mea culpa does work, when it doesn't, we asked NPR's Renee Montagne to look into the delicate art of the political apology.
Senator Lott's predicament is hardly new. In fact, a problem with talking about politicians and their reasons to apologize is that there are so many political tempests to choose from. Gary Hart on a boat called Monkey Business, House Majority Leader Dick Armey and a colleague he called Barney Fagg, Hillary Clinton on why she didn't stay home and bake cookies. The offenses range from the merely embarrassing to the possibly criminal. President Bill Clinton was under investigation for perjury in connection with the Monica Lewinsky scandal when he went before the American people and conceded for the first but not the last time what most had long suspected.
I know that my public comments and my silence about this matter gave a false impression. I misled people, including even my wife. I deeply regret that.
Kathleen Hall Jamison is the dean of the Annenberg School for Communication, and she's written several books on political speech and rhetoric. She compares what Senator Lott is doing now to President Clinton's approach.
Clinton went around apologizing and apologizing and apologizing to the point that people said, could you please stop apologizing? One may actually have a precedent in the form of a sitting president of the United States who carried apology to a new generic form.
A far more effective approach, Kathleen Jamison believes, was taken by Senator Ted Kennedy back in 1969 when he found himself at the darkest end of the spectrum of possible wrongdoing. Senator Kennedy had just pleaded guilty to leaving the scene of the accident at Chappaquiddick that killed Mary Jo Kopechne. He went on television with an explanation and a plea for understanding that was not quite an apology, although much of the public heard it as such.
This last week has been an agonizing one for me and for the members of my family, and the grief we feel over the loss of a wonderful friend will remain with us the rest of our lives.
The speech is important for one reason in the context of the Lott controversy. That is a single speech that Kennedy stood behind as his answer to the question, are you to blame, are you sorry? And the Kennedy speech about Chappaquiddick saves his political career. Ordinarily confronted with a serious crisis, a leader tries to deliver the single definitive apology and hope that as a result, every time the person's asked after that, the person can say, I've already addressed that and I stand by my statement. When a person has to repeatedly apologize, or in fact repeatedly do just about anything in political life, it means that it's failing and the level of desperation is rising.
Another famous sort of apology from the history books is Richard Nixon's speech when he resigned after Watergate.
I regret deeply any injuries that may have been done in the course of the events that led to this decision. I would say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, they were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation.
The argument in that resignation farewell speech essentially is, I did what I believed was right. If it had terrible consequences, nonetheless, there were overriding concerns, and if you actually understood them, you'd understand why I shouldn't be resigning right now.
One imagines the best way to make an apology is just to be unequivocal, to just simply say, I did it, it was a bad thing, I'm sorry. And yet that rarely happens.
One problem in saying that is that one opens oneself up to legal action if one makes an I did it statement.
Also, many of these politicians don't think they did do anything wrong.
I think the world is rarely so clear-cut. The notion that we have people in public life who go about doing what is wrong, believing that somehow they can talk their way out of it, is, I think, inappropriately cynical. I think people find themselves in circumstances in which they exercise poor judgment and come to genuine regret about it. I think the question is, how do they act in the rest of what public life they have in order to demonstrate that they have learned and will avoid comparable situations?
We've been talking a lot about deeds, but let's turn out the sorts of things that politicians have said that have gotten them in a lot of trouble. In 1984, Jesse Jackson, for instance, during his presidential campaign, He was having a conversation with a reporter, and he referred to Jews as Haimis and also to New York as Haimi Town. And first, he denied saying these things. Finally, though, he apologized. He went to a synagogue. And here's an excerpt from that speech.
Even as I affirm that the term was used in a private conversation, the context and spirit of that remark must be appreciated. In private talks, we sometimes let our guard down and become thoughtless. However innocent and unintended, it was insensitive and wrong.
That speech is noteworthy for the distinction that over history has been used often between private words taken out of their context and public words. One of the problems for Trent Lott is those were public words. But the other interesting thing about the Jesse Jackson example is that he repeatedly tried to deal with the issue and repeatedly failed to deal with it. Ultimately, in an eloquent statement before the Democratic National Convention in 1984, he apologized by saying, "God isn't finished with me yet." And so he moved essentially to a language of repentance before others of religious belief. And that's what finally seemed to put that moment to rest.
It would be hard to find any politician nowadays with a cleaner image than Senator John McCain, yet back in 1989, he was among the Keating Five, senators accused of intervening with federal regulators to help out a generous campaign donor. Now, Senator McCain reacted with lots of apologies for the appearance of wrongdoing, plus he changed his ways.
Out of that experience, he forged a new life mission, which was campaign finance reform, and essentially lived out a political life arguing for a reform of a system that he would repeatedly say when asked had corrupted him, that he had made a terrible mistake. And so I think it's important to ask, whenever someone is put in a position of having to apologize, how consistent is the rest of that person's life with this apology? The problem for Lott is that the words seem in some ways to tie to the beliefs. They tie at least to his history. And if the language has betrayed one's actual beliefs, it is very difficult for words to counteract that. It's deeds that will ultimately counteract that.
Kathleen Hall Jamison is the dean of the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.